That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, happy Friday, happy Memorial Day weekend, everybody in the United States. And welcome once again to another episode of Save City of Heroes Radio. I am your host, as always, Pogo Man from the Virtue Server. And along with me, as always, well, most of the time when he can make it on time, I think we just heard him running through the front door, the man, the myth, the legend behind the Titan Network himself, the one, the only, Tony V.
Howdy.
Hey, Tony, what's happening, brother? We missed you last week.
Oh, man. Sorry about that.
No problem. You told me the night before. We had a fun show.
living life to the fullest.
Well, I thought you were going to say living La Vida Loca for a second.
Not quite that excited.
Well, happy Memorial Day weekend to you.
Hey, happy Memorial Day weekend to you.
Interesting week in TV. Last night we had Red Nose Day on NBC from 8 to 11 p.m.
Yay.
Well, Red Nose Day in the United States, because this has been a tradition in England for a long time. A couple of my friends on Skype told me last night, like, we do it over here. It was last month for us. I was like, well, we just did it over here last night, or tonight we're doing it. And halfway through the show, I think they said they had raised almost $12 million.
Yay.
So I don't even know. I didn't have time to look today what the totals were. But then Wednesday into Thursday morning, the sad news, the end of an era. David Letterman, TV late night talk show host for 33 years, hung it up, called a career.
Yay.
He's done.
Chuck.
I never really watched that show. I usually put it on the end to wait for the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. But, you know, 33 years, my God. I mean, how many people tuned into him every night for 33 years? I mean, hell, I was like 12 years old when he went on air. I mean, think about it. So for most of my life, definitely my adult life and my formative teenage years, you know, you always knew David Letterman was on late night TV. Paul Schaefer was his band leader, orchestra leader, whatever you want to call him. And now there's going to be a void. Literally, until September, because I checked the schedule, they aren't even showing reruns anymore.
Yeah, they're showing, I saw last night they were showing a rerun of The Mentalist.
Yeah, that's all they had, yes, for the entire summer, folks, until Stephen Colbert, the real Stephen Colbert, not his, his alter Stephen Colbert image from the Colbert Report. So until Stephen Colbert takes over in September, CBS will be running episodes of The Mentalist. I feel bad for James Corden, who does The Late Late Show now, because at least he, you know, his lead-in was, you know, David Letterman, so people would tune in. Now it's like, good Lord, are you kidding me?
Well.
So, but.
You know, when I was a teenager, that was a staple of my summer days, is I would stay up late and I would watch. Of course, I lived in Alabama, which is in Central Time, so all these times will be off by an hour. But the, hey, my power supply fell down. I'll have to fix that.
The late show was on here. Right, the show he was on started here about 12:30-ish. So for you, it was like
11:30? Yeah, so,
okay.
Well, over in Alabama, primetime television was from 7 to 10 instead of in Eastern, 8 to 11. Or I guess if you're in Pacific, 8 to 11 also, but 3 hours behind. But anyway, 7 to 10, I would watch the primetime shows. At 10 o'clock, all the local news came on, except on our independent station, they would show Barney Miller.
Ooh.
And so I became like this huge Barney Miller fan. I've seen every episode like four times. And then, of course, after Barney Miller went off, it was Johnny Carson and David Letterman. So, and I remember it kind of felt like the end of an era when Carson left, you know. For those of you who weren't around or don't remember it, that was a BFD. I mean, it was like if you can imagine like your favorite cable channel going off the air. I mean, that's what it was like, because everybody still had mostly like three or four channels. I mean, cable TV was around, but still there weren't, you know, you'd get like an extra 30 to 40 channels at the most. But and most of those were crap channels, local access channels. But anyway, so, I mean, at the time, those were the late night institution. I mean, you know, there was – not really a lot else on to watch.
No, and especially that's early 80s. We're talking 82, 83. Cable TV was just coming into its own.
These are the days when stations still went off the air. No station does that now. But you remember, stations used to play the national anthem and show
and
their
the
little
test
and
the
yeah,
test
the test pattern,
pattern
and then they'd go off the air.
Oh, yeah, and this is the only thing you'd hear.
Yeah, well, the test pattern on it was just a ooh with
that's
the color pattern
for
and everything.
Hours, yeah. So
either that, and they would. Some of them would actually go off the air. I mean, like you'd get snow.
Yeah.
So anyway, and in fact, I think our local NBC station went off the air after I think they might have had one show on after that. I can't remember. But anyway, point is, during the summer in my teenage years, I mean, that was sort of the late night ritual. I would watch Barney Miller, Johnny Carson, and David Letterman. And then when David Letterman moved over to CBS, again, that was a BFD because, I mean, there was a big row. And a lot of people, it boggles my mind that people are too young to remember this weren't around.
Right. Well, here is the deal now. You know, who was on CBS or CBS was throwing their hat in the ring to late night TV and they wanted a show. And so it was like, well, who's going to get, you know, everybody thought Letterman was going to get, but then Leno's name kept popping up. And I remember this the whole summer. There was like every day or almost every day there was news, Leno Letterman. You didn't know who was going to get it. And then Leno got the spot and then Letterman went to CBS.
Yeah, and
they
again,
even
it was a BFD. And
no, it was. It was
they actually made a movie about it.
Yeah,
if
I was
going to
say,
there's
a book and a movie. Yeah, they did a movie based off.
Well,
no, I'm sorry.
Called The Late Shift or something?
Yes, The Late Shift was it. Yeah, that was the name of it. But although Letterman didn't like it because it did make him look like neurotic about it. Because he was like, wherever I go. And in the movie, his character, the actor who played him, it was like, oh my God, where am I going to go? What's going on? It was like, wow. So, but now, you know, like I was telling my stepdad the other night, now the official, that was the last little bit of, you know, what had been a staple of late night TV. Now, officially, when September comes around, the entire late night TV landscape has changed. You're going to have Colbert taking over for Letterman. You have Corden taking over for Craig Ferguson already. Fallon's in place, took over for Leno, and then Seth Meyers took over for Fallon. Well, actually, no, I'm sorry. Kimmel's still over on ABC, so as of right now, Jimmy Kimmel is the longest tenured late night host at his show. I think it's been 11 years he's been there, so I don't know. I hear somebody typing. Maybe somebody could look it up.
I'm typing. I was looking up like the late night schedule for like 1985, like fall of 1985, ABC had Nightline, and then they had Eye on Hollywood.
Yeah, so that was
CBS Late Night was on at 11:30.
All right, Jimmy Kimmel Live started January 2003. No, I'm sorry,
who hosted the CBS originally? It was
what's his name? Oh God, the guy with white hair. I could see him.
Well, there was what's his name, Snyder, that hosted.
Tom Snyder, that's what I was thinking.
He was on later than David Letterman, though.
Right.
They're saying this CBS late night block was not always cleared by every affiliate.
Right.
They used to have some movies on. Let's see.
And the Rangers have scored. Go 1-0 against Tampa Bay. Sorry. I just turned around.
I know. I need to catch up. Yeah, let's see. TV movies from other networks began to appear during the 1980s. And in 1985, the series was retooled as CBS Late Night. So they would show a movie.
All right. I was going to say, Arsenio Hall had a show. He was on Channel 9.
And then in 89, CBS Late Night was replaced by the Pat Sajak Show.
That didn't last that long. So whoever took over after that, he was not around
that
long.
And then it started showing reruns like Wise Guy and 21 Jump Street and Stingray. The lineup also featured original program, Overtime with Pat O'Brien, The Kids in the Hall. I think I vaguely remember The Kids in the Hall being on.
I remember them used to be on HBO, but then I looked them up last week because Kids in the Hall, they're getting ready to do another tour. And it said they were on to like a few years more than I remember. Like 95, they it said they were on till. And I remember.
And then in 91, you remember that? I remember this. Then they replaced it all with Crime Time after Prime Time. And they showed shows like Silk Stockings and Tropical Heat.
Yes.
Dark
that
Justice.
Was on, that was USA Network, right? I think.
CBS was showing them for a while.
Oh, CBS was? Okay. Yeah, because I think when did Tom Snyder come in with his show? Because that didn't come in for a while.
He was on NBC, wasn't he? I thought he came on after David Letterman.
I thought Tom Snyder was on CBS. I thought he was their answer. Because it was Tom Snyder. I remember Craig Kilborn came in. Hold on, I'm looking up Snyder now. All right, here we go. I got him here.
Tomorrow.
Late Show with Tom Snyder. He would come on. I was on.
He came on NBC after the Tonight Show from 73 to 82.
Right.
And when David Letterman took that spot, he went to ABC anchoring Eyewitness News.
Huh. Okay.
Snyder returned to television on CNBC in 93. Oh, here it is. The Late Late Show with Tom Snyder. Meanwhile, Letterman had moved to CBS. Hired Snyder as the host of the Late Late Show. Letterman, who had idolized Snyder for years, hired Snyder in 94 as host of the Late Late Show. The announcement was made by Letterman and CBS President Howard Stringer on August 9th, that Snyder Show would begin on January 9th, 1995.
Right, I got it here, 1995. All right, I have the thing for the Late Late Show on CBS.
So that was on CBS. He came on after Letterman moved over.
Right, because it says here January 9th, 1995 was his first show on CBS till March 26th, 1999. Then a few days later, March 30th, Craig Kilborn took over till August 27th, 2004. Then they had guest hosts from September 20th to December 31st, 2004. And then January 3rd, 2005. Until December 19th, 2014, you had Craig Ferguson. Then you had guest hosts till March 6th, then March Madness, and then James Corden took over March 23rd.
So he kind of bounced around. He had a show. I was thinking of that Tomorrow show on ABC, because when I was a teenager, that used to come on after Carson in my early teens until Letterman took that spot. Anyway, point is, late night institution. And the thing about it was Johnny Carson,
right.
and it really got me to thinking, because Johnny Carson was sort of like my parents' show, you know? Johnny Carson, he was funny. Don't get me wrong. He was funny as hell. I love watching Johnny Carson. But still, I mean, if you're a 15-year-old kid watching a man who's like 60 years old on TV, I mean, you know, it's clearly not aimed at your demographic.
No, it was.
So Carson was always kind of like my parents' show. And Letterman was like my generation's show. You know?
Yeah, when he came on.
I mean, of course, David Letterman's older than I am, but still, I mean, his show was sort of that quirky, new, you know, parents hated it, kids loved it because it was different. And he was
anti-establishment. He made fun of the establishment, too.
Oh, yeah, he made hideous fun of NBC.
Oh, yeah.
But, and General Electric, too, who owned NBC.
Oh, yeah.
But, oh, my gosh, man. I mean, that was my generation's, our generation's late night institute. Just like our parents worshipped Johnny Carson and watched him every night, we watched David Letterman. And I got to thinking about that. And Letterman leaving, it really sort of marks the end of an even bigger era than just our generation's late night institution. Because I honestly think you're never going to have that kind of show again. I mean, Stephen Colbert will take over, and don't get me wrong, I have absolutely nothing against Stephen Colbert. He's a great guy. I mean, his show was hilarious, and I suspect this one will still be hilarious. But, I mean, you and I grew up in an age when we didn't have 300 channels. We didn't have, you know, DVRs and you know, cable on demand and the internet with streaming services like Netflix and all that. I mean, we had just, you know, we watched Letterman because that was it.
Yeah.
Unless you wanted to watch Nightline. So, you know, I really think we'll never have that kind of a, you know, we'll still have late night talk shows and they'll still be good and I'm sure I'll like some of them, but I just don't think we will ever have like late night talk shows as an institution like they were again.
They're there, but it's like
it's the end of an era. Go ahead.
What I was going to say is this: with Fallon, okay, you get him bringing all the pop music stars on all the time, okay? Letterman had the president on a few times. They came on. I don't see any of the other talks. Maybe Colbert could get them on, because you know he did do the White House Correspondents' Dinner. He was the opening act for that, with the guest speaker the one time. So I could see him getting politicians on. I just don't see the other guys getting politicians on.
Oh, I bet. What's his name? Who's taking over the Daily Show? We'll get him on there. Noah. What? Trevor Noah. Hey, Barack Obama did the Daily Show a few times. I mean,
right. He got on there. All right. So that's what I'm saying.
He might have actually been on the Colbert Report a time or two as well.
Oh, yeah, he was. No, that's what I'm saying. Colbert could probably get these guys on, but I don't see politicians going on the other shows.
I just think you got to understand, for those of you listening, some of you who are my age or older will, everybody watched Johnny Carson. I'm not exaggerating when I say that. I mean, everybody watched it. If you went to bed really early, you might not have watched it, but you knew who he was, and you'd still watch him every once in a while if you had, you know, a late Friday or something.
Right.
But, that's what I'm saying, is that, you know, Colbert will do a good job, and he'll have a lot of viewers, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll never have that sort of – and the same thing, you know, when I was a teenager in the 80s, everybody watched David Letterman, you know? Even if you didn't, you knew intimately who he was, you know, because he was an institution. And, you know, a lot of people out there know who Stephen Colbert is, and a lot of people will watch him, but he'll never have the kind of captive audience that, like, Johnny Carson ever did or David Letterman ever did. I think it marks more than just the end of, you know, our late night institution.
Right.
I think it marks the end of late night talk show as sort of the medium, you know, because, like I said, everybody's got so many sources of entertainment and information these days with the internet and on-demand cable services and streaming services and, you know, 500 cable channels and, you know, you can have your – and even, like, not even television, but, you know, video games and stuff like that. You'll never have that sort of era again where everybody sits down and watches, you know, an interview show like that. But we'll see. I don't know.
Well, like I said,
come
September,
I think Colbert will do a good job.
I'm interested to see how Colbert does it. So it'll be interesting.
I wonder if he'll still call himself Colbert or if he'll go to, you know, Colbert.
Well, he's going to be Stephen Colbert. That's his name. Isn't it? Is Colbert or Colbert? How do you pronounce it?
Well, it's Colbert, but he calls himself Colbert for the whole time. But he may not. I mean,
Woody
Allen's original name was Allen Konigsberg. But, you know, if he changed his name back today, nobody would know who he is.
Oh, no.
So, I mean, he might be locked in now where it's like, well, you're going to have to go by Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, but you got to remember, the real Stephen Colbert is different than the Colbert Report Stephen Colbert. He's even said that. He's in his character as the host of that show. He has made fun of the real him numerous times on that show. So, you know, and they've said, you know, when Stephen Colbert takes over, don't expect the guy from the Colbert Report. That's a totally different character. So he's not going to be doing that. So, I think he takes over early September, very late August. I know they have it in the works now. So,
yeah. See, here it is. While Colbert's name, while Colbert sometimes comedically claims his surname is French, he is of 15th-16th Irish. He is 15/16 Irish ancestry. One of his paternal great-great-grandmothers was of German and English descent. Many of his ancestors immigrated from Ireland to North America in the 19th century before and during the Great Famine. Originally, his surname was pronounced Colbert. Stephen Colbert's father, James, wanted to pronounce the name Colbert, but maintained the Colbert pronunciation out of respect for his own father. He offered his children the option to pronounce the name whichever way they preferred. Stephen started using Colbert later in life when he transferred to Northwestern University, taking advantage of the opportunity to reinvent himself in a new place where no one knew him. Stephen's brother Ed, an intellectual property attorney, retained Colbert. This was shown in a February 12, 2009 appearance on the Colbert Report when his youngest brother asked him, "Colbert or Colbert?" Ed responded, "Colbert," to which Stephen jokingly replied, "See you in hell." So there you go. When he was growing up, it was Colbert, and he changed it to Colbert when he went to Northwestern University.
Okay. And I just want to say quickly, the official date for his run on The Late Show begins Tuesday, September 8th, 2015.
Yay!
So we're a few months away, so enjoy, CBS, enjoy your Summer of the Mentalist. Poor James Corden. How the hell is he going to get people to tune in? Oh, I have it on my DVR, that's why.
I'm not a fan, to be honest, you know.
Really? Well, you know, it's cool. He has Reggie Watts as his band leader, so I think that's kind of cool. So,
But
I want to say about Letterman. I was going to say there are three Letterman eras. One when he was on NBC, the late shift, you know, the late thing after 12:30, which is the one everybody fell in love with. And then people said he got a little tamer once he switched to CBS. And then after his heart attack in 2000, they said he really mellowed out compared to how he used to be. So,
I have to admit, when I was watching this show Wednesday, he looked kind of old, you know? I mean, he's getting old up there, but I mean, it's like I remember Johnny Carson looking at him, and I never really got the impression, oh, man, he's, like, ancient.
Yeah.
But David Letterman, he really looks like, I mean, he's really showing his age, and which is fine. You know, he's been at this a long time.
33 years, 6,000, I think leading going into it. He made a joke that night that he talked to Stephen Hawking during that day, and he said Stephen Hawking had calculated that in the 33 years that he has been doing the late night shows, he's done 6,028 episodes and 8 minutes of laughter.
David Letterman is 68 years old. Now, let's see. How old
and
was
like
John
Code
Carson?
Says, hold on. And his code word, he says, booze, women, and cigars will do that to you. Yes, that's why, yes. And he had a heart attack 15 years ago. And look at all those episodes. He did like 200 episodes a year. I mean, yes, it's late night, but, you know, to do, you know, like they show the average day in his life, he shows up to work at a quarter after 6 in the morning. And he's there till they're done, you know, filming the show in the afternoon, and then he goes home.
So this is – here's your interesting – first of all, David Letterman actually did late-night talk show longer than Johnny Carson did.
Yes,
Johnny was on the air for 30 years. Letterman did it for 33.
So this is
probably an interesting stat as well. David Letterman is 68 years old.
Oh.
He is actually 12 years older than Carson was when Carson retired.
Carson was 56 when he retired? I thought he was older than that for some reason.
Carson was 56 when he retired, yes.
And old as all. He could have went. I think that was the network. They always want a younger guy.
Born in 1925, and his show ran through 1981. Is that right? When Jay Leno took over?
No. Early 90s.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, but I'm looking at IMDb.
They have to have their math wrong, because he was there. Because remember, Leno took over early 90s, I remember him taking over. And you know who else had a talk show that year? Dennis Miller. Because I liked him, we were talking about this, I liked him doing Saturday Night Live News, and he left to do a talk show, but they didn't give him that much time.
1992 is when he retired.
Yeah,
So Letterman's still older than Carson was when he retired, but not by like a couple of years. But that's really weird. Well, IMDb is wrong. They lie. But because I'm sitting here, it's showing The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson, 74 through 81. And maybe it's under self.
I don't know.
Oh yeah, under Self, it's got the Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson, host 1962 to 1992. Oh, that's really weird. I wonder
oh,
why they have
and
that
here's something
split
else
out
about
like
Letterman.
that.
I had a comic book thing about Letterman. In 1984, he was on the cover of Avengers number 239.
Yeah, I
when he
think
hosted
I
Late
saw
Night.
That. Yeah, I saw that somewhere. Anyway, so long, Dave. I actually posted on Twitter. I posted my requisite, you know.
Well, I love the
so
fact
long,
that
Dave.
No, Mad Viking. Yeah, Mad Viking. He was on like Channel 11. He was on regular. He would that not HBO Dennis Miller show. He had a different. He had an actual talk show. I think on Channel 11.
Channel 11, which
here was Pix. It wasn't even. It had to be syndicated because it wasn't even UPN9 or WB. Years before the WB and UPN9. This was years and years before that happened. I'll look it up. I'm glad this PC goes fast so I can check these things out. That's weird. Okay, hold on a second. And I missed that show on HBO. Let's see. No, the Dennis Miller Show. In 92, it says here, 1992, following his departure from Saturday Night Live, Miller wants a late-night TV talk show. The Dennis Miller Show, syndicated by Tribune Entertainment, continued tradition of alternative talk shows, which started with the Late Night with David Letterman Show. Nick Bakay was the announcer. Andy Summers, formerly of the band The Police, led the house band. It was canceled after 7 months. Because the Tribune Entertainment CEO saying the show lacked the ratings growth necessary to continue. Then in 94, he hosted Dennis Miller Live, which is a half-hour talk show on HBO. And that aired 215 episodes over 9 years. Boo. Boo.
There you go.
At least he had a longer run. And then, of course, I don't know why. This puzzles me to this day why they did this. They put him on Monday Night Football as a color commentator.
I actually didn't mind that. I thought he did a pretty good job. I
didn't like the way ABC handled it, though. It's like, if you don't understand what Dennis is talking about, go to our website and, there's a special thing you click on, like, what was Dennis talking about? And everything he referenced, they would have like an encyclopedia thing for him. I'm like, wow, really? You got to play it like that?
I mean, I was always amused. I loved him on Saturday Night Live.
He was great.
I thought he was great. I thought he was hilarious doing the Weekend Update. And that's the news, and I am out of here.
Yeah. And you know what sucks? I saw a replay of his very last one, and he didn't say it that night.
Son of a biscuit
eater.
The
last episode, guess what, folks? This is my last show. Thanks. I was like, oh, dude, you're not going to say it in one final time? You're out of here? You didn't say it?
Man.
It's like,
so,
wow.
Yes. I know that probably not many people keep up with this, but I'm obliged to. But the NBA conference championships are going on right now.
Yes, congratulations. Atlanta Hawks advance, I believe.
They are in the Eastern Coast Finals. Eastern Conference Finals, yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And they are actually playing right this second. It's 21-17 Cavs right now. We lost. I'll tell you what, man. I watched that game on Wednesday. If I can just diverge into sports for just a second.
Oh,
that
go
was BS, man. I was watching those. Those refs were egregiously bad. I mean, it was so it was depressing. Watching them. They called the Hawks for like three offensive fouls in a row, and it's like, we didn't even touch the guy. There was one, the worst, though. It has got to be probably one of the worst calls I have ever seen in sports, or I should say non-call, is at one point in basketball, you can't, once you bring the ball over half court, you can't go back and, it's called back and over. You can't go back into the backcourt and then back over the line. And at one point, LeBron James tipped the ball. And I mean, there was like not a Hawk within a good 3 feet of him. And he like was trying to swat the ball, and he did. and he swatted it into the backcourt. And right. the Cavs, one of the Cavs went back there to retrieve it. And, of course, as soon as he touched it, that should have been over and back, and the Hawks should have had the ball. Guy picks up the ball. I mean, like, you could tell he was sort of – he didn't really want to touch it because it's like, as soon as I touch it, you know, they get the ball. So he kind of followed it about three-quarters of the way back, and finally he picks it up and looks around to the ref expecting a whistle. Nothing. Nothing. So he starts dribbling and brings it back over to their side of the – I'm sitting there like, what the hell? What? What's going on? This is insane. Oh, man. It was bad. And they ended up winning that game by like 6 or 8 points. It was embarrassing, though, how badly the refs did. I'm kind of glad – I mean, part of me really wants to go watch the Hawks play right now, but at the same time, part of me – looking at the score, it's 21-17. It's like, yeah, I wonder how the refs are doing tonight.
Look, you have another hour. You can go watch the end of the game. The Rangers are playing right now. They're going into the second of three periods in regulation. I could sit here and host. You could sit here and co-host.
I wanted to say
– I thought it was very cool they had the Foo Fighters on, David Letterman, to end the show with that really cool montage to Everlong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was good. I mean,
that was a proper send-off. Because, of course, when he had his heart attack and came back, he won the Foo Fighters on it. And he said that they were on that night. You know, they canceled the South African tour. Yeah, they were supposed to have a tour in South Africa. They canceled that to go just to play for Dave when he came back. And he said basically they've been attached to the hip ever since for 15 years. So,
well, I'm glad they did it.
I'm glad. That's a cool song, too. And I like the lyrics. Where's it go? I upload the song to play tonight if we have time. I don't know if we will. But what was the line? If something would last, if this would last forever, or if ever something this good would come along again. It almost made me think of City of Heroes. The chorus for it. Let me see if I can find it. Hold on. I had it before. I didn't save it. It's part of the chorus, and I think it's such a cool... here we go. And I wonder, when I sing along with you, if everything could ever feel this real forever, if anything could ever be this good again. I think that was a very cool way to end with the lyrics like that in his song, in the song. So, and of course they did a live extended version, and there were some people who were there said the Foo Fighters just rocked it out in tuxedos, no less, too. So enough about that. Let's get on to our neck of the woods, shall we?
Hey, let's talk about City of Heroes.
Let's do it, man. I miss City of Heroes. Oh,
there's actually City of Heroes news.
Well. I actually have something interesting really quickly from Daily News earlier this week. They had an article, and it says Call of Duty fans, action video game players more prone to mental illness in a study. And it says here really quick, this really short article, and it says people who spend hours playing action-based video games like Call of Duty or Assassin's Creed are more prone to developing mental illnesses according to a new study. Canadian researchers, hold on. Excuse me. Canadian researchers have found habitual video game players are more at risk of neurological and psychological disorders such as Alzheimer's disease, dementia, schizophrenia, post-traumatic stress disorder, and depression. The study revealed decreased volume in the hippocampus, which has been associated with the disorders. The hippocampus controls memory, learning, and emotion, but test subjects were instead found to use a different part of the brain called the caudate nucleus. The shift was attributed to intense high-action games like Grand Theft Auto V and Tomb Raider. And researchers at the University of Montreal and McGill University conducted a study which was published in Proceedings of the Royal Society B. So, and that was why I'm reading this. It's just funny. It's like people are calling foul on this article. So, take it for what you will.
So, hey.
Yes.
City of Heroes news.
Okay, go ahead. Now you can take it away. Go ahead.
Okay. So, did you hear they relaunched the game?
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't. That's not true.
Yeah, trust me. We would have been having a much different tone to our show tonight.
Yeah, we would definitely had to have changed our theme music or something to.
Yeah, I would have been playing. What's that? Oh, I'm coming. I would have played "I'm Coming Home" to start off the show.
There you go. You know, one of these days we might actually have to consider that eventuality.
What? Oh yeah, I have said that before. I really have said that. I've said it on the show a few times that if City of Heroes ever opens, I have no problem. I have no. Reserves about changing the name of the show?
Well, there you go.
I really don't. So, and somebody said in another chat they were talking about the show, and they're like, what are they gonna? Didn't they think about changing the name of the show? I'm like, as long as we could fight for City of Heroes, it will say Save CUH Radio.
Oh yeah,
but
no, we'd still do the show. We'd probably cover City of Heroes and as well as successor projects and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, maybe change it to Hero.
And talk about Atari 2600 and how the Falcons are doing. And
well, we talk about that anyway.
I know, but still.
Oh, Code Warrior says we changed. Wait, Code Warrior says we changed to Saved COH Radio.
There you go.
Because of the show, we saved the game.
Save the world.
Save COH Radio.
Our next goal, cure cancer. That's what we would change it to.
Come on now.
Cure cancer.
Oh, our next thing is Save the Cheerleader. Oops. Oh, speaking of that, that's going to be on this summer.
Yeah, it is.
But they still haven't said when it's going to be on.
Lots of interesting stuff. Anyway, so City of Heroes news, before I forget, because I'll get distracted three more times before I say it if I don't.
I know. Go ahead. Right now.
A couple of things. One little note is Matt Miller, if you keep up with his Twitter account, he changed his Twitter. He used to be at MMO Designer, which was what he actually had a blog called MMO Designer. He changed his Twitter account to at Many Things Deck. And I was a little amused because one of his tweets was, you have no idea how annoying it was that Twitter's name link's limited to Deck of Many Thing. So, because he couldn't put the S on there, he made it Many Things Deck. So if you want to follow Matt Miller, Positron from City of Heroes, if you're, you know, Dev Stalker, then have at it. He's on Twitter at Many Things with an S, Deck. Anyway, ooh. a couple of little notes, though. He did reveal that he does have a job. You know, he got laid off from Star Trek Online a while back. And he is gainfully employed now, so everybody stop crying for Positron. He's working at Disney Interactive on their mobile games. But the more relevant thing is that they have released.
Can I say it? Because I'm about to. You're going to do it because I just found it. As soon as you said that, I was like, I know. Yeah, you put it. Damn it. Go ahead. Tell them what it is.
It is the City of Heroes Lorgasm 2015. So this is where a bunch of people around the end of last month and beginning of this month, a bunch of people submitted questions via the Google Documents, and he was kind enough to coordinate it with Dr. Eon, who is Sean McCann, and together they answered a whole bunch. And Protean, what is Protean? Oh, man.
Oh, this
Protean?
Is funny. You remember Harvester of Eyes, every time he called in and his big question, whatever happened to Tabitha Favish?
Yeah.
They answer the question. It says here she was the original owner. Oh, no. Okay, yeah, no, he continues to write. She was the original owner of the Magic Origin Shops in Talos IP. One day her signage was replaced with that of a Mexican restaurant, as that joke they always do. And when those were removed, the shops were taken over by Pandora's Box. And as Frida Linkster would say, there's something going on. And his answer is, Positron response, she slipped dimensions trying a new spell. Lost forever.
Well, there you go. And Protean is John Hagner. I couldn't remember his name.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. Yeah. And then the next question was from Rise of Heroes. Hey, I'm kind of want to know, when does the City of Heroes return? I'm actually getting each tears when I see it's gone. Please return when? And Positron, not something I can answer, sadly.
Yeah. I was slightly amused that some people... He explicitly said, you know, no questions about successor projects or City of Heroes 2 or anything like that. And people would still, some people slipped in a few anyway. So anyway, so it's out there. Read it. Enjoy it.
Oh, this is a good one. Dwayne says, many hear emissions to kick COT butt heads, COT circle of thorns in this case, butt head sewer or abandoned mine entries. Is Orenbega under Paragon City, and he puts it in quotation, under Paragon, or just accessible by dimensional portals, quote-unquote, under Paragon City? Positron, Orenbega is literally under Paragon City. No dimensional portals needed to access it. So there you go. It was literally the Undercity. So I guess it goes Paragon, Sewers, Orenbega.
Oh, hey, you have your question in there, right above Harvester of Eyes.
Yeah, I said that.
Oh, I missed that.
I said it. That was the first thing I said. Oh, wait, did I mention that? No, I said it was an answer. I don't think I read it. I read it to myself. I'm sorry. Yeah, because they always said that there were Easter eggs that the players never found. They said there were many, many Easter eggs, and I was always curious. And they did say that in Pretoria, of all places, you know how they had the servants who could talk, the robotic servants, where the clockwork?
Yeah.
That didn't look like clock. Well, they said that if you actually took the numbers and translated them into names, there were actual names. And it was fun to go, once you got the names or whatever they said, then it was fun to go find out where the name reference came from. By the time they were answering the question, they didn't have all the names there, so they didn't want to give them all, any of them. So,
well, anyway, it's out there, so read it, enjoy it.
Cool. Yeah.
They'll probably do it again next year. I did notice that he mentioned this, and this is understandable. I mean, it's been, you know, coming up on 3 years since he's worked on the game.
Right.
And, you know, as time goes by, I think that the devs probably, you know, I mean, they're pretty busy with their projects they've got going on now. So they probably forget a lot of this stuff. I am curious. So, I mean, where they have like a copy of the Master Lore Bible that they went by. And
yes.
But at any rate, he's probably answered that at some point. I just don't remember. But anyway, interesting stuff out there in recognition of the what would have been the, gosh, I guess 11th anniversary of City of Heroes.
Yes, yeah, earlier in the 11th year. Yep, somebody told me that.
So there's your City of Heroes news for the day. It's not quite as good as the servers being relaunched, but you know.
Trust me, when it does, we'll have a big old party on the show. How about this one, Tony? In advance, I'm going to say when City of Heroes comes back, I'm going to change the time for that week's show to correspond with the reopening of the game.
I think we should do it on Twitch. Have video of us playing and
awesome.
Celebrate.
And right, it should be us, and when it opens, and the tears then arise of joy, and we'll be doing backflips and, you know, having banners flying around, trumpets playing, and all that good stuff. Interesting news from Stan Lee. He's finally going to publish his memoirs in graphic novel form.
Woot.
Yes. This was from yesterday at morning I got this. Stan Lee, the man behind Spider-Man, the Fantastic Four, the X-Men, the Incredible Hulk, heck, practically the whole Marvel Universe, has been working on a book about his life. Touchstone plans to publish Lee's Amazing, Fantastic, Incredible, a marvelous memoir, on October 6th. Lee, now 92, whew, he's up there, has been busy attending Marvel movie premieres and working on new projects. He collaborated with comic book artist Colleen Dorn and writer Peter David, who's a local guy I know. Very cool dude. He writes many, many things, so it's going to be a good book on the book. As Marvel just celebrated its 75th anniversary, I thought maybe it's time for a look at my life in the one form it has never been depicted, as a comic book, or if you prefer, a graphic memoir. Lee said in a statement, "It strikes me as horrendous oversight that I haven't done it before. If I didn't know everything about my life already, I'd envy your voyage of discovery." In his long career, Lee has seen comics go from throwaway kid stuff to the center of our entertainment culture. He started out working for the legendary Joe Simon and Jack Kirby, rising to become lead writer and editor-in-chief at Marvel Comics in the 1960s and 70s. Asked by ABC News about the current popularity of superheroes, Lee said, "I have to pinch myself all the time to make sure I'm not imagining it. To write something and then talk to people who care about what you've written is a wonderful feeling," he continued. "I can't even express how grateful I am to be in the position where I can meet fans who enjoy the work I do."
Yay!
That's one book I'm going to get.
Excelsior. I just remember I used to watch that.
Code Warrior. We were talking about the reopening of City of Heroes and the streets of Millennium City become barren. For those who don't know, Millennium City is in Champions Online. Sorry, it's a nice replacement, but, you know, click our heels, there's no place like home. Tony, there's a topic somebody asked me to bring up this week.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to address it, and somebody brought to my attention.
Look, I never even met her.
No, nothing about that.
Oh, okay.
He gave me a topic for this week's show.
Was it the Atari 2600?
No.
Dope.
This week there has been talk about private servers.
Okay.
And he wants to know what my feelings are on private servers. And
I
said,
private servers, yay.
Yes, I'm all for private servers. But you know what's good about them? They're private. And like I said, if there is a private server for any particular game you might have mentioned on this show, I don't know about it. That's why private.
Here's my thoughts on the subject.
Yes, go
first
ahead.
Of all, you know my issue with the whole game shutdown and everything. I mean, I've said it. I've been pretty public about it, that I really don't like how everybody's put all this time, effort, money, and work into this game, and the publisher ultimately can just flip a switch and it's all just completely destroyed. Right. So to me, if I were a game publisher,
right,
I would actually deliberately take pains to make private servers available once my game is shut down. You know,
right.
At least let people have their stuff that they can keep on playing. Because I mean, I've got games. I'm sitting here looking on my shelf. I've got games that date back into I've got Baldur's Gate. I've got Civilization, the original Civilization game that came on floppy disk. I've still got a copy and. I even have a USB floppy disk drive, so if I wanted to, I could actually load up Civilization on my computer and play it right now if I wanted to. Now, I bought that game back in, 1992 or something like that.
Right.
And so, I don't think private servers necessarily have to be this sort of seedy underground evil thing, you know? And some games deliberately make private servers. I mean, if you've ever played Neverwinter Nights, I mean, the whole concept of the game is everybody runs their own private servers. And lately I've been really involved in a game called Don't Starve, a little survival sandbox kind of crafting game. Really cool, by the way. I highly recommend it. You can go out and get it on Steam if you want to. And they actually, their latest version is called Don't Starve Together, and you can go out and download it. In fact, I am, as we speak, running a private server of Don't Starve because they've made it publicly available if you own Don't Starve Together. So ultimately I think that's the way to go. I would absolutely love a City of Heroes. And in fact, some of you have seen me reference that project that we loosely called Score. Somebody made that up a while, but I think it stands for a secret cabal of reverse engineers working on. And I know some people who are working on reverse engineering a private server so that the City of Heroes client that, if you didn't delete it, it'll actually run against it. If you did delete it, then you can actually download it from various sources that I can't legally mention, but you might be able to find if you Google it. That you can use for the client that CodeWalker put out there. What's it called? Icon.
Icon.
I was having a brain fart for a minute there. So generally speaking, when I say I'm pro private server, I really am pro private servers. I honestly think that that's ultimately the way to go. And I actually, regardless of the legality of the situation, I would have absolutely no moral qualms about people running private servers. Legally, I honestly think if private servers developed, first and foremost, I just don't think NCSoft would find it worth their time to chase it down. Because I just don't think that NCSoft, right now, for two reasons. One is I just don't think they'd care. I don't think it'd make their radar because the game is, you know, was shut down 3 years ago, and I honestly think that they'd be like, yeah, whatever. I mean, they don't intend to publish a sequel to it. They don't intend to use the property, and it would be money burned in a fireplace if they actually tried to chase people down to get it taken down. Second of all, I don't think they'd chase it down because surely they would realize that once it gets out in the wild, it would be utterly useless to try to stem the spread of it. I mean, you know, it's the old Streisand effect thing, that if they start chasing it down, then all of a sudden everybody will know it exists.
Right,
I mean,
right.
It would be all over Slashdot and Ars Technica and all these other sites. And so, you know, it would behoove them not to try to chase it down. So,
right.
At any rate, but like I said, regardless of the legality of the situation, I would have absolutely no moral qualms about people running a private server if the software is available, because in my mind, it needs to be out there. And so, you know, I know some folks who are working on it. I know, you know, there have been other projects that have sort of been tossed around, that, you know, that SEGS project that had at least the ability to log on, but it was as of issue 4 or something really, really early. I don't know if they're still working on that. I know some other folks who are working with the later client. I know a whole bunch of I know that we've conducted a crap ton of what do you call them, network traces and that sort of stuff, so that we have all the headers and you know, a lot of the APIs are documented and that kind of stuff. So it's like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, top men are working on
it. Yeah. Ooh, top men. You know,
but if anybody knows of a private server, by all means, ping me.
Yes, me too.
I get messages every once in a while from people, you know, do you know of a private server out there? And I'm like, well... and there are people, I every once in a while see messages swearing up and down that there is one, and it's like,
right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to hope that if there were, someone would ping me. But, you know.
Because I hate to say this, but sadly right now, I have to put the private server in the category of Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster. People,
well,
hold on, quote unquote, swear it's there, but they don't have proof. So...
And,
you know.
And another way, I kind of hope they don't, though, because, I mean, seriously, if it is out there, that means somebody's leaked some code somewhere, and I just, you know, I don't want anybody to get in trouble. So, you know.
Right. That's right.
I will say this. I would not doubt it if some developer had a copy that, you know, because I had, you know, I've done developments, you know, professionally myself for a while. It's been a long time ago, but. You know, I had copies of code at home and everywhere else that I would work on, depending on where I was. And so it would not surprise me if the code is out there somewhere, you know, and maybe some developers are running a private server or something like that. But if they are and they've kept it secret, I'm like, more power to them, you know. I mean, but ultimately, though, I would absolutely love to see a version that's been rewritten so that it doesn't, like, directly violate the IP copyright laws of NCSoft and distributed so that people can run their own servers.
I think that would be great. Like Code Warrior says, the first rule about private servers, you do not talk about private servers. But, yeah, you know, wishful thinking, wishful hoping. Although, we're still waiting to hear back. I haven't heard anything. Back in September, we heard that that there was the discussion about resurrecting the intellectual property. But have there been any further talks?
Not that I'm aware of. Not that there's been any public disclosure of.
Okay. You have to put us on mute for a few minutes?
Yep. But,
well,
but I shall return. This is,
I'm
this
just
is
gonna...
the part where if I were a DJ, I'd spin a commercial or two.
Well, how about this one? Why don't we play that Everlong song, and then we'll do the rest of the updates.
Let's do that.
All right. So, tribute to David Letterman going off air. This is going to be the Foo Fighters Everlong. You have about 4 minutes, Tony. We'll be right back with more Safe City of Heroes Radio right after this. All right, we are back with Save City of Heroes Radio. That was Everlong by the Foo Fighters. That song came out in 1997.
Woot.
Wootness, I say. Woot. And I typed in the chat, I will do the full thing now. If you want to call in and talk for the last 25 minutes of the show or so, there's one of two ways of doing so. You can either call in at 646-478-0073. Or if you're one of the many people in the chat, we thank you all for coming out tonight. Scroll to the top of the page. You'll find a blue square with a white S in the middle. That S does not stand for super or anything like that. It stands for Skype. You click on that, and that's a free call. And as I always say, free is good in today's economy. Speaking of the S standing not standing for super, I want to give a little secret. I was a naughty boy today.
What did you download?
The Supergirl pilot for the fall.
You know, I actually thought about downloading that just to see.
You know what's so funny? Yes, surprisingly, it's not bad. And I'm not a big Superman fan, but I thought this was pretty okay. I could see the series doing well. I just wish it was on WB because, like I said, I think the producer of one of the guys working on Supergirl also works on Arrow and The Flash, and you could have had some sick-ass crossovers. I don't see cross-network promotions unless there's some really crazy deal.
You never know. I mean, Angel
true.
And Buffy intersected a few times when they were on separate networks.
That's true. So, well, that's true, because Josh Whedon owned both of them, so.
But, I saw the news earlier today that someone leaked the pilot because it's supposed to debut in fall. Which, you know, I have mixed feelings about. I mean, on the one hand, I think, you know, it's kind of cool. I am a little disappointed, you know, because I know that really kind of takes the wind out of the network sales. And here's what I'm a little afraid of. I'm afraid that, you know, the first few episodes of any show tend to be kind of terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. You know?
And that's why I always get mad when they cancel a show after like three episodes
five episodes.
Because it's like,
yeah,
you don't even know if it's going to do well or not, you know? But, you know, so I'm a little, like, at the Wonder Woman series that was going to come out.
Oh.
Now, granted, it looked terrible. I mean, I saw the costume, and I was like, you know,
it's not
bad, but yeah.
I'm gonna say this. I watched the first 10 minutes of that.
Yeah, I've seen. I haven't seen the whole episode, but I've seen parts of it.
No. I had access to the entire episode. I shut it off after the first 10 minutes.
I know, it's out there. But still, at the same time, it's like, you know, I don't know. I just think there's something fundamentally wrong with even a bad show, you know? It's like, give it at least a season. And if it doesn't work, cancel it. If it does work, carry it on. But I just don't like this, you know, cancel it after three episodes. That one didn't even get on the air, you know? And Supergirl, what I'm a little afraid of is that if people download it and watch it and they're like, well, that kind of sucks, then all of a sudden it's like nobody's going to watch the premiere. Nobody's going to watch the second episode or third episode. And it's like it's not even going to have a chance to get up and running. But I don't know. Part of me is always a little suspicious when stuff like that happens, too, because I got to wonder, and this is just the tinfoil hat part of me saying, I wonder if the network did it itself to sort of drum up promotion for it and kind of like put it out there to test it in a very limited environment to see how people react, you know?
Yeah, I seriously, they could have done a better job,
maybe,
and I think they
maybe
should.
Maybe tweak it and change it before it even
exactly.
goes to air.
Yes, because a pilot, you know how many times, like, for example, the Big Bang Theory, I have never seen the pilot, but what I heard originally, Penny wasn't part of the group. Their neighbor was a tough girl lesbian character, they said, who stuck up for the guys as, like, a big sister.
I have to admit, and this is probably going to, like, egregiously offend some people, but I hated that show. I did not
really?
Like that show much at all. No.
I like it.
And yeah, Code Warrior is right. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had a slow start.
And
I remember people talking about it being canceled three or four episodes in.
Oh, yeah.
And by the
end of
Star Trek, The Next Generation, I remember watching the first season of it and thinking, boy, this show really kind of sucks, you know?
I watched the first four episodes, gave it up.
Then it's like, oh wow, this is actually getting pretty good. Or you know what? You know what my best example is though?
What?
Dollhouse. The first half of the first season of that show sucked bad. I hated it, and I was like, I can't believe Joss Whedon is putting out this crap, you know. But about halfway through the first season, it's like, wait a minute.
Okay. Now that you said it, this is what I'm going to say. The first four episodes were really slow. I had DVR'd three or four episodes after that, and I was talking to people in the Rookery when City of Heroes was still open, and I was like, yeah, I got a couple more episodes, and everybody's like, watch till the end of episode six, or I can't remember which one, episode six or seven, and they go, trust me, it picks up from there big time. And I think I can give, can I give spoilers on this now, since it's been out for so long?
Dollhouse?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. It's been off the air for...
Do you remember the timidish girlfriend that lived next door to the guy?
Yeah.
And they slept together, and all of a sudden... Yeah, and then you find out she's actually a sleeper agent.
Yeah.
When that happens, that's the moment. I was like, what the hell? And then things totally change after that. That's when it picked up.
Yeah.
That's when I got. I was like, what the hell? It's like things just immediately, boom, once you find out who she really is. It's like
the whole
series.
The first two episodes are like, oh, ho-hum. You know, it's about this girl that gets a new personality every week, whatever. And they send her out to do these things. But, yeah, about halfway through the first season, it's like, wait a minute. there's something else going on here. and by the end of the first season, you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I was like, this show was awesome. And then they canceled after two seasons. Like, really?
Yeah, but at least they knew it was coming, you know, and they wrapped up. I mean, it's almost like an extended miniseries. It's definitely a binge-worthy show. If you haven't watched Dollhouse, I highly recommend, you know, even the spoiler Rich gave away. It's not that much of a spoiler. But, you know, yeah, if you haven't seen Dollhouse, but you do like Whedon stuff in general, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Firefly and of course, the Avengers movies, I would highly recommend checking out Dollhouse. And give it some time.
Yes.
Don't watch three episodes and be like, boy, Tony sucks.
Tony, what the hell, man? You lied to us. Ooh, I just checked the score. Rangers are up 3-1 with just over 2 minutes left in the second period.
Ooh, I just checked the score. The Cavs are still up 54-49. Yeah. That kind of sucks. Yeah. But, you know.
That sucks for you. Well, the Rangers were up 2-0 at the beginning of the first period the other night, and they lost by one. They lost in overtime. So, you know, if until they get like a 4-goal lead over Tampa, nothing's, you know, I'm not happy with the lead, so.
I just hope the Hawks win this game because I don't want the Cavs going up 2-0 and then we have to go up to Cleveland and play them.
You see, now Cold War, he says, the reverse of Hancock. The movie for him got bad when we found out who everyone was.
I don't know. I liked Hancock.
It was okay.
By the way.
And after you find out who they are and what the whole deal is,
Hancock.
I think Hancock
is the porn
Hancock.
Version.
Yes. Yeah, I heard for a while after that movie came out, you know, like once it went to cable and everybody's seen it, that they were going to work on a prequel follow-up.
Yeah, I think they're still going to – aren't they going to make a new one?
Oh, I don't know. You know, then again, they're doing remakes of some other movie. Now, what other movie is coming out that's look at Star Wars. Episode 7 is finally coming out. Although I'm a bit miffed about a few things if I could bring up right now. Okay, it's 30 years later. Now, we've had all these novels for years and years and years, what they call the extended universe.
Yeah.
And we've got things like Luke has a Jedi Academy now, you know, and all these other things and blah, blah, blah. And now the movie says, you know, rumor has it that 30 years later, obviously, Han and Chewie are looking for Luke. He's been missing. The rebellion is taken over and they're still shaky. I'm like, it's 30 years later. They haven't got their government in place yet.
It takes a while.
So, 30 years?
Sure.
I mean, this is my point. If you can do 30 years later, whatever you guys want to do, I would have been happy if you had established that the Jedi Academy, if you had established the government in place and all these other things.
I don't know. You know, I'm looking forward to the movies, but, you know,
well, like I said,
I don't know. I didn't read many. I read, like, the first two novels that came out after the original series came out that were
that
the Timothy Zahn.
Was that the Thrawn? Yeah, Timothy Zahn. Oh, that was a great series. That was a great
But I never really read many of the – I mean, that was it. I mean, I didn't read the other books.
And
I didn't watch, like,
I enjoyed
the Clone Wars cartoons. And,
well, they actually, you know what they're saying now? What's canon? They're saying that the movies, Rebels, and Clone War cartoons, that those were all canon, as opposed to all the books. But I was reading some of the Old Republic novels, because, you know, they have Star Wars The Old Republic, so I was reading some of the novels. And I was saying, you know what, I think the Old Republic stuff should be canon, too. I think that would be very cool if they did that. And I'd love to see an Old Republic movie or series. But we shall see. We shall see. Cool. Maddie Jones says she will try a lot. Royal Gladys are very cool.
Oh, that's why my score's not changing. It's 54-49. It's halftime.
Oh, well, that's... okay.
Did my update stop refreshing or something? No, it's halftime, stupid.
Oh, Tony, you're so silly. You're so silly. All right, let me see here. Do I have the updates? About that time we should start, right?
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
nothing.
We only got 15 minutes left in the show.
Let me start now. All right. Nothing new from the City of Titans this week. Last week there was that war piece, lengthy war piece that was pretty cool, but I didn't read it on air. All right. This week I'm going to go Friday update number 128 from Heroes and Villains. Let's see here. Okay. This week we've been doing some more design work on some of the key values for powers, especially damage and accuracy, with an emphasis on trying to come up with a formula that will let them be balanced with each other, so that we could determine which powers are better than others. This is very straightforward when dealing with only one value. For example, if a power has base damage 10 and another has base damage 5, then going purely by damage, that power is twice as good as the other one. But it becomes more complicated when another value is added. For example, if the power with base damage 10 has base accuracy 55% and the power with base damage 5 has a base accuracy of 65%, then it's no longer so easy to set a comparative worth between the two powers. Things get even more complicated when further values are added in, such as range, recharge time, casting time, and so on, especially with range, as ranged powers naturally have a lot more range than melee powers, making them automatically, quote-unquote, better. Factors outside the powers themselves also have to be considered. Values for buffs and debuffs can have their effectiveness and worth affected by the team size, or the number of enemies being fought, which makes grading them even harder. So it's going to be quite a long and complex process to arrive at the basic worth of each power. Have a heroic villain this weekend, the Heroes and Villains team. So there you go. Numbers coming into play.
Yay!
And guess what? We do have a Valiance Online update from May 19th.
What? No way.
Yeah, I swear. It is a long list, though. It's some things in the process of being updated behind the scenes by our overworked lead programmer. Okay, hold on. What did I just do with that? Okay, here we go. This is a long list, guys. Brace yourselves. Here we go with the updates for Valiance Online. Removed the old character generator configuration and updated the new JSON. I have no idea what that is. Updated the AI on the NPCs Rage and Lionpaw. Updated the AI in the Perps and the King's mobs. Baked position and spawn data for hotspots, spawn spots, and static entities for Area Central 01. Added crushing damage and crushed cause of death. Updated the area's JSON file to only feature Area Central and Area Central 01. Updated the data generation tools to the new standard for the upcoming server updates. Updated the effects JSON and raw data files to the format of the new server updates. Updated the items JSON and raw data files to the format of the new server updates. Updated the quest JSON and raw data files to the format of the new server update. What is JSON? Or is it something in their game terms?
JSON. It's a data interchange format.
Oh, okay. We say JSON. I'm sorry, JSON. I'm so sorry. Remove the direct goals JSON entries until they are required. Remove the Hangout Activities JSON entries until they are required. Remove the MacGuffins JSON entries until they are required. Remove the Armament Items JSON data and lookup data until they are required. Added the new crafting raw data files and baked some template examples for testing. Removed materials and textures not shared between the male and female base bodies. Added the new base body skins in preparation for the new body models. Updated the project settings and quality settings in an attempt to stabilize shadows. I continue to fail in this attempt. Added the new custom loot randomizer system and the first phase of the instance loot system. Updated ability effects raw data files and server data files. Added the first templates of the inspiration style power-up items. Updated a bunch of materials to the new shader collection. Updated the Area Central 01 rock material to be darker to counteract the light intensity and bloom shader. Updated the rock prefab of the Rocks and Boulder collection to only have physics on their highest LOD models. Updated the brightness and transparency on the water shader. Updated the charging camera dot prefab to feature the same image effects as the in-game camera so people don't log in and be like, what the heck? My character didn't look like this when I clicked enter the world.
What the heck?
What the heck, man? What the heck, I said.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. Updated the network manager dot prefab so that people can stop auto-logging in as me when they know they don't deserve such greatness. Be your own person! 4 exclamation points after that, too. Updated the spawns dot prefab to unlock all the NPCs and mobs. I left practically 90% of them floating in crazy high positions so the other programmers would have something to do today. 3 exclamation points. Hell yeah! 4 exclamation points. Updated the camera position in the startup underscore live scene so that the zoom in and distance camera positions work. Haha, I just saved startup underscore local for the hell of it. Not sure if I even changed anything. In parentheses, this is what happens when a person is up for so long, dot, dot, dot. Added health to all mobs that were dying infinitely on spawn. Well, that would be funny. Went ahead and took the time and fixed all floating spawners. In parentheses, you guys are off the hook. Updated all the server data. Server notes. To run the server in a more energy efficient manner, to run the server in a more energy efficient manner, you can now browse your way to the Valiant/tools folder, run the interactive menu .bat, executable, press S, and then enter to run the server. Make sure you have both Java and PHP installed on your machine and set up as system underscore variables. General notes. I'm dead. We'll catch you all later tonight. Oh, and the servers are rebooted with live updates. Whew. And there you go. That's your Valiance Online.
Woot.
Update. Woot, I say. Woot, woot, woot.
Hey, you want to know what I did last weekend?
Yeah, because you weren't here. Go ahead.
I actually went to Birmingham, visit my... we went to Birmingham, visit my nephew, my sister. It was a lot of fun. We played board games. But, you know, my nephew is huge into board gaming now, which is cool. I like to think I had a part of that because I was the one who kind of got him, you know, started with some games and playing and all that stuff. So, anyway, we got some new games. We got Takenoko and Love Letter. And
how is that game? Did you try that one yet?
Love Letter?
Yes.
Yes.
How is it? Because I know there's a Batman version of that
like
game. Now, what is the whole point? Explain this game to me, because I don't know.
It's really fun.
Yeah, from what I've heard. But
So there's a deck of cards, and it's really small. It's only 16 cards. And there are like, let's see if I can remember. There are five, they're numbered 1 through 8, 1 being a lowly guard, 8 being the princess.
Okay.
So there's different numbers of cards. So there's like 5 guards, 2 is the baron, and there's 2 of them. 3 is the priest. There's 2 of them. 4 is I can't remember. I think the prince is 5. Four is the handmaid. 5 is the prince. 6 is the king. 7 is the countess. And 8 is the princess. Anyway, So each card, so what it is you start out, you have one card. So you might get, I don't know, say the Baron.
Okay.
And each turn, you draw a card, and then you lay a card down in front of you, and that's your discard, right?
Right.
And when you discard, when you put it down in front of you, each card has different effects. So like that, the Handmaid makes you immune to other players. If you put the King down, then you trade your card with someone else. If you put the Guard down, then you name another person and a non-guard card. And if that person's actually holding the card, you say, like you say, I think Steve is has the Handmaid. And if he does, then he has to put the Handmaid down. He's out for the round. And so each card does different things. The Princess is actually interesting. The Princess, if you discard it, you're out of the round immediately. You can't get rid of it.
Okay.
But you may get in a situation where you're forced to, in which case you're just screwed. But anyway, if you go through all the cards, then everybody who's still in the round puts their card down, and whoever has the highest number wins. So if you manage to keep the Princess throughout the whole round, then you win because you've got the highest card.
Cool.
But like the Baron, what it does is if you put it down, then you pick someone else and you compare your card to theirs, and whoever's higher wins and the lower person's out of the round. So the object is to either eliminate everybody else from the round, or once you're done with the round, to have the highest card left. And if you win the round, you get a little, a little token of affection, which is, you know, the Princess's little token. And whoever gets five of those first wins. So it's a game where you're trying to figure out what cards the other player has through deduction and through the abilities of your own cards. And you have to draw, and when you draw, you have to discard kind of wisely, you know, to keep yourself going and maximize your chances of winning.
Cool.
So it's pretty nifty. I mean, it's really fun. And it sounds kind of, you know, it sounds like, I mean, I hate to say this because it's kind of sexist. It sounds like a kind of a girly game, right? I mean, love letter, and you're vying for the love of the princess and all that. But let me tell you, it is a hella fun game. And I would highly encourage anybody who has access. And it's cheap, too. I mean, I can't remember how much I paid for it, but wasn't that much.
Because what drew my interest to it is, like I said, there's a Batman version of the game.
There is a Batman love letter, yes. They make different versions of it, including the Batman, yeah.
Oh, and really quickly, I want to say Cold Warrior typed in the chat. JSON is JavaScript Object Notation.
Yeah, it is basically how you transmit. You can transmit data from A to B. So, if I have an array and a bunch of integers and strings and whatnot, I can pack them all into a JSON array and send them over to another program or something.
Okay, cool. But he was questioning the fact that are they really using JavaScript as a back-end scripting language?
Maybe not. I mean, like PHP will process JavaScript and a lot of, or JSON anyway. Right. A lot of programmings now have JSON libraries built into it, so it's actually grown quite a bit away from. It's kind of like XML, you know. You can use XML whether you're programming in C or C sharp or, you know, whatever, Ruby or PHP or Java, you know, and JSON's the same thing. You can use it. It's just that the JS and the JavaScript in the name is because the format is natively compatible with JavaScript. Probably more information than anybody really wants about it, but, you know, there it is.
Very cool. And we only have about just over 3 minutes left in this week's show, Tony.
Yay. So if you want to call in, it's too late.
Better hurry up. You call and say hi. So I'm going to say to all our friends in the United States, and you, Tony, I'm going to wish everybody a very happy, healthy, and safe Memorial Day weekend.
Absolutely. Support your troops.
That's right. Support your troops. And I just found, you know, again, my nephew is going in the Marines after he graduates. I think he's going in sometime in the fall. But we just know a friend of ours she was in the Marines. She has just joined the Coast Guard Reserve. She just got tired of not being involved. And, you know, they said she's too old to rejoin the Marines. So she's joined up with the Coast Guard Reserves.
Well, one of our Titan Network members is the programmer is actually an active serving member of the U.S. Air Force and currently stationed in Kuwait City. So,
One of my friends I went to high school with, and he was a longtime role playing buddy of ours. That, you know, growing up, well, I had a D&D group that we, you know, we were all within a year of each other more or less, and we grew up together. And it was just weird. Like the oldest member of the group, he was a year ahead of us. He graduated, and then pretty much within a year or so, the whole not only did the group split up, but just people moved. Within like 2 or 3 years after we were graduating high school, like within a year or so, the whole band split up for the most part. So, and one of the guys that we knew, I was shocked about this when he joined the military. He's in the Air Force and he's been stationed over in Germany. But he's like an administrator there. He told me basically his job is to be like the travel agent for the group. So, John Amarino, if you're ever listening, thank you for serving, sir. I think he's still over there. I haven't.
Kuwait. You know what's freaky about that? He's like 30 miles from the Iraqi border.
Oof.
And he's
well, good
about,
luck and God bless him.
He's about 30 miles from Saudi Arabia, too. I mean, he's just kind of right there in the middle of
it. In the middle of it, yeah. Well, I think
so
he's stationed anywhere
over there. He
actually
is qualified. He actually is going to, once he gets out, he'll be considered a combat veteran because of the conflict over there. And
yeah, I was going to say, once somebody's stationed over in the Middle East, I think it's hard to not be anywhere near the action.
Fortunately, he's stationed at a base that's not like, you know, it's not in the front at lines or anything like that. But still, I mean, I'm sitting here looking at a map and it's like 50 or 60 miles away to Basra, which is, you know, where there were very heated battles during the Gulf War. So, you know, it's hard to think of anywhere as safe when you're in the Middle East, but, you know. But best of luck to him. So far, he's doing pretty well. He has about 3 more months left, and then he'll be coming stateside. So,
interesting. I was looking at that the WARGASM, and they were asking were there any Ricky in the rest of the world. And Posron answers, we have 10 seconds. Basically, they were pushed back to the portals in Paragon City. There might have been an undiscovered tribe somewhere, the Ricky popping up somewhere in the rest of the world. But for the most part, Paragon City, the portals, that's why they're there. And with that, everybody, have a great weekend, and we'll see you next time from
we
more Safe City of Heroes Radio. We love you. You guys rock. And I believe that's it. We're in the after party. Let me just type in chat in case you didn't hear us. Thank you all for tuning in tonight.
One of our other Titan Network members is in Israel. He's in Tel Aviv.
Oh, yeah?
I told the programmer, I said, you should drive over and see him. I mean, hell, it's, you know, it's only a few hundred miles away. It's like, yeah, but you really, really don't want to make that drive.
Yeah.
It's not the distance.
It's, really, you know how they say it's not the journey, it's the destination? It's the journey.
It's a few hundred miles away, but it might as well be Mars. It's like it would be better to just go the other way around.
Do
Kuwait City to Tel Aviv via Canada.
Good Lord.
I tell you, I would not want to be and God willing, he'll be perfectly safe because, you know, fortunately they haven't had any incidents or anything going on there. But still, I'm sitting here looking at the map. It's like, damn! you have no kidding. Saudi Arabia is like 50 miles to the south. You know, Iraq is 50 miles to the north and west. And, you know, on the other side is the Persian Gulf. And, of course, if you go due west and cross the Persian Gulf, you'll end up in Iran. So it's, and plus, you know, Iraq's border on the Persian Gulf is really not that big. It's just this tiny little sliver down in the southwest of the country. So it's like, man, if you do drive the 100, you know, it's like if you do drive the 100 miles or so to get to Basra, don't overshoot it because if you go like another 5, you're in Iraq. Like, just not. But he stays on the base. So we're you know, I tell him every, you know, every once in a while, just be careful, dude. Just,
yes.
Know, serve your time and come back.
Yeah, just do what you got to do, which is, you know, be safe and come back in one piece and healthy. And
I tell you what, I laugh. The truth of the matter is that is not one job I would want to do. I absolutely respect our military, and one of the reasons why is there is no way in hell I would sign up and go over there. And it's not because I'm too good or anything like that. It's because, I mean, shoot, man. When I was in high school, you know, my dad, he mentioned the military once or twice. He wanted to go into the Air Force, and I was like, Dad, I am not touching the military. You know, it's like, I wouldn't make it through boot camp, you know?
Well, you know what it is with me. I was born with scoliosis, and I had this problem with my neck and my shoulder since I was basically born. So I knew there was no way I was going to get in the military. You know, so
see,
I think pretty much from a young age.
With this thing on top of my neck and shoulders that wouldn't let me go in the military.
Oh, I had some interesting news about that. I'll share next week. I'm waiting to hear some news back about that, so I don't want Jinx anything yet. I might have some good news about that for next week. So,
well,
that's a teaser for people who hang out in the after party. So,
yay.
So we shall see what happens. Ugh, I'm tired, man.
It's going around.
All right, let's
have Monday, so I don't have the long weekend, but I'll probably take some time off this summer.
That sucks. You have to work Monday.
I'll probably work from home.
Too cool. Do that. Wow, I've got to really update my. I didn't check to see what's going on with Massively Overpowered in a while.
Oh, I check in on it. In fact, I was looking in while you were talking about the other updates. I was looking in on the Atlas Park Revival stuff. You know, they got some pictures. It's been a while since they posted some picture, but they are making, you know, steady progress. They got some good photos out there on their website.
Cool. Huh.
Anyway. Well, huh. I should probably head out, so... You kids have fun.
Yes, you too.
Don't stay up too late.
Me? On a Friday night?
There's nothing to watch anymore anyway, so.
Yeah. Well, once you want to watch The Mentalist. Good Lord.
Yeah, I'll stay up late and watch The Mentalist. That's why I'll stay up till 12:30.
Yeah, I actually said, well, I kind of like watching James Corden. He's not bad. I kind of like the way they're doing the show. Because basically he has all the guests come out at once, so they sit around chatting for like half an hour.
Yeah.
But, and Reggie Watts, if you watch Comedy Bang Bang, he was on that, and they just said that he has like 3 episodes left of that, and then he's off that show to do this full time. He's pretty cool on that show, so. All right then, sir. With that, let's get out of here before the next show comes in.
Okay.
Thank you very much for helping out again. I'll talk to you over the weekend.
Have fun.
Yep, you too. And with that, everybody, we're out of here. Have a happy, safe, and healthy Memorial Day weekend if you're celebrating the United States. And not just have a happy, healthy, and safe weekend anyway. Be good, and we'll see you next week. With that, Tony, we're out of here. And as always, say goodnight, Tony.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.